Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
We'll talk to Jason Longshore right now on the WayForward.com hotline because rumors started about day before yesterday. And, you know, as Carl says, we don't start them, but we talk about them. And I just don't know what to make of it. But it sure sounds like it's gaining traction. The return of Miguel Almirón to Atlanta United. Jason, tell me about it.
This has been a wild, wild last couple of days. Like, I do my Atlanta Soccer Tonight show on Tuesday night at 10 o'clock. There's no news about Miguel Almirón at that point. There's lots of news about the striker position, which we'll talk about as well, because both of those, there's been a wild series of updates over the last, I mean, what are we talking about, 36 hours? Where now Atlanta United, according to Sky Sports in England, is being linked with spending over $30 million to bring in two players. One would be Miguel Almirón, and the other would be Emmanuel Latelas, a striker from Middlesbrough, which would set a new Major League Soccer transfer record in terms of an amount spent for a player. That's pretty aggressive, pretty bold, and setting the table for a pretty fun 2025, eh?
Mm. What would they do for this team with their skill set? We know about Miggy, but we don't assume that everybody's listening saw Miggy play when he was here. What do they do if this is to happen, and these rumors are accurate, do for Atlanta United?
Well, look, too, and I think, you know, you guys know this when we talk any other sport, what a player was in 2018 is probably not what they are in 2025. And especially when you're talking about somebody getting older and, you know, Miguel's only 30 years old, but he's played over 220 games for Newcastle. Mm. That's a decent bit of miles on his legs. Mm. He's still a very, very good player. He was a best 11 player his 2 years here in Atlanta. Explosive speed that, as we know, over time will dissipate a bit. Maybe he's not the same flying ostrich that he was at one point during his time here in Atlanta, but he's still really fast, and that left foot is still really dangerous. And I think if you look at anything that has changed the other way for a player who has been in England, played over 220 games at the highest level, you're going to be a smarter player after that experience. So where you might lose a step, you're going to gain that step back in soccer IQ if you've been doing what I think Miguel Almirón has. You know, he's 2 years removed from a double-digit goal scorer in the Premier League and helping Newcastle qualify for the Champions League.
Right.
He can play centrally as a 10. He can play on either wing, really. And I think as we're seeing the modern game evolve, players aren't locked into playing on one side anymore. You know, we watch Saba Lobjanidze play on the right, play on the left. It's about matchups. It's about how they can help the team and how the overall fit works. I think you can see Almirón play a number of different positions for this Atlanta United team and be incredibly impactful in them. And when you add in the striker that this team missed for the second half of last season, this attack could be incredibly dynamic.
Hey, I like that kind of party. I always joke around with Carl that cheesy movie, Jason, Goal? The Dream Begins, about the kid from L.A. who goes to Newcastle.
Oh, I love that.
I love that movie, man. Santiago Muñoz. I always felt like Miggy was miscast. It always seemed like he had like the crusty British coach or whoever the coach was or whoever the guy. They never really felt him. And when he get on the pitch, you just said it, he make things happen, but he just never really got the traction he should have gotten there.
Yeah, they did a little bit. I think Eddie Howe, the current manager at Newcastle, when he came in, I think he got a good bit out of him. And again, it's a couple of seasons ago that Almiron was brilliant for Newcastle and a huge part of them qualifying for the Champions League. Anybody who scores double digits in the Premier League, especially when you're not a forward, you're doing something right. I'm with you. When he first went over there, you know, we're talking Rafa Benitez, and then we're talking Steve Bruce, and Steve Bruce is talking about playing him as an inside forward, like we're going back to formations from the 50s. I mean, just all kinds of weird conversations about what he was. I think when Eddie Howe used him, as we saw here in Atlanta, often centrally, that's when you saw the best from Almiron. Now, I do think in the way that Ronny Dyla wants to play, your wingers, and especially when you think about Atlanta United in 2025, and you think about the overall construction of this team, you have two fullbacks, and Brooks Lennon on the right and Pedro Amador on the left, that both are capable of double-digit assists. So they can create and stretch the field wide. You're not asking your wingers necessarily to always stretch the field wide. They can come inside and combine and explode through the channels. As we saw for 2 years here in Atlanta, Miguel Almiron can do that as well as anybody who's ever played in Major League Soccer.
Hey, man, we're going to talk to Danny Cannell about Georgia. Can they ever get back in that national championship? What's going to happen on Monday? That's at 4 o'clock. Right now, we're talking about Atlanta United being very active. So, Jason, money to spend. We already talked about Miggy, and so you got to spend to do this. It's like a reverse transfer, basically. And there's another guy I read from Middlesbrough. I mean, how does this all work out?
Yeah, Emmanuel Lacalath is an interesting one. A lot of people have expected Atlanta United to go get Kyogo Furuhashi from Celtic, who Atlanta has bought players from before, Yorgos Yakimakis being the last one. There had been talk about Kyogo coming to Atlanta last summer. It didn't happen. It's been talk through December about him coming to Atlanta in this window. It kind of stalled out, and nobody was really sure what was going on. Then all of a sudden, a report comes out of Italy about Atlanta making an offer to an English club, Middlesbrough, for Emmanuel Lacalath, who is a national team player for the Ivory Coast. When I first saw that, I'm like, why is this coming out of Italy? This doesn't seem real. Mm-hmm. It is real because that's where his agent is from. And we know how agents work. They want to get conversations going about their players. Well, that got some conversations going. Emmanuel Lacalath nearly went to a Premier League club on the last day of the transfer window in the summer. He didn't ultimately because Middlesbrough was not going to be able to go out and sign a replacement. They are now. And when you talk about both of these moves in combination, of course, Atlanta wants to get the deals done quickly because you want players to get here, be ready in preseason, be ready for opening day coming up in about a month's time. The two clubs in this case, Middlesbrough and Newcastle, both want to get these deals done quickly as well so they can go out and get replacements while their transfer window is open for the next 2 weeks. I think these moves are moving fast. It sounds like, according to the reporting, and this is a combination of reporting out of the U.S., reporting out of England, that there are agreements at various levels on both sides of this. Atlanta and Middlesbrough have reportedly verbally agreed on the transfer fee for Lacalath, and Atlanta and Newcastle are very close to getting the deal done for Almiron, and it sounds like the salary terms and that side of it maybe is done in that. So still some missing pieces, but both deals feel like they're pretty far down the road.
Okay. So the transfer fee is one thing. That's not what Miggy would make once he got here, right? They'd have to negotiate that salary. What will that look like?
Yeah, the salary separate.
Do we have any idea of what that would look like, considering now he's been one of the best international players?
Yeah, what I have seen, and one thing that hasn't really been talked about in the U.S. much on Almiron, was a Brazilian club, Atlético Mineiro, was very interested in bringing him in as well, but they didn't bid enough in the transfer fee. They weren't going to pay Newcastle enough to get him. In the articles out of Brazil, one of the other things that they said was that Atlanta offered more salary than anybody else would, and they said $5 million. Now, I don't know if that's ballpark, if that's accurate, if that's not close, if that's plus bonuses, no clue. And we wouldn't know really until the spring when the players' union would release that information. But when you think about it, you look at the salary tables in the league, like once he's a designated player, you can spend whatever you want to spend. You're not worried about the cap at that stage, and you're expecting him to be an impact player. And look, I mean, Mike, I think you already said it. how many people on opening day, if Miguel Almiron's on this roster and in that lineup, are going to be wearing brand new Atlanta United Miguel Almiron jerseys with a brand new jersey coming out this year? I mean, come on.
Right. I'm with you. You know me, man. I don't want to be locked in the past, but it was 17 and 18 and much of 19 were just so magical. And I know beating Miami and getting to where we went this year was certainly unexpected, but yeah, that was just, man, I'm excited. I really am. And for the first time, excited about United and talking about it. Jason, as always, brother, we'll turn to you for more information as it breaks, but thanks so much for coming on.
I'll keep you posted. Make sure you're subscribed to Off the Woodwork, where we'll be posting updates with special podcasts and things that pop off, because there's going to be more to come.